Gary Struble on The Business Report.
Welcome back to The Business Report here on Nova 103.5. Time now for our lead story. And our lead story this evening proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, let us help you secure your financial well-being now and in the future. Joining us in the studio this evening for the lead story is the Chief Executive Officer of Agra Limited, Arnold Klein. Welcome to the show, Arnold.
Thank you very much.
Let's touch on AGM was last week. Results came out at the end of October. So I've been out for a little bit. There's been some consumption on it, and I'm sure you've had some feedback. But overhead results looked fantastic. Just over 100 million Namibia dollars profit. Just tiny, tiny little bit under 2 billion in revenue. Those are pretty good numbers under what are still trying conditions.
That is correct, and we're quite proud of that. And yeah, we tried to get to the 100 million mark, and we exceeded that with on the agro side with a 6 million. So we had 106 million net profit on the agro side and 111, almost 112 million for the agro group with the subsidiaries included. We don't really look at the turnovers, although it does show you the size of the business. But yeah, that was great results, and we're really happy with that.
So where does this growth come from? Is there certain pockets of excellence in the business, or is it overall it's just going well?
Yeah, I think in terms of the net profit, where it comes from is basically improved efficiencies. So we didn't increase gross margins as such because we're a very, very low margin type of business. And you have to be competitive. There are a lot of competitors competing with Agra on different areas. So we've got to be competitive all the time. The only way to achieve that kind of net profits would be through efficiencies, bringing down your costs and managing that very, very carefully, and then focus on the business and expanding your market share. That's the only way to do it.
So, I mean, you have an interesting business structure in that you're a limited company as opposed to a PTY. Your shares are actively traded, but not on the open exchange. So as a result, as a business, Sam Walton used to say that Walmart were the buying agent for their customers. And out of the old co-op structure, that was largely the rationale, was to be a buying agent. So I suppose that what I'm alluding to is it's consistently a balancing act between being profitable but not being too profitable.
Correct. And I can say that because I've been with Agra for quite some time. And in the past, operating as a cooperative, Agra has not really been profitable and really profit-driven. So there was a lot of inefficiencies that was actually allowed within the business. So and people didn't actually work very hard to be price competitive. And the general idea was, as long as stock would be available at a relatively cheap price, that's okay. But we don't really care whether Agra would make profits or not. Whereas we've changed the business model and said, well, we can do all that, but still make profits just by improving efficiencies. And that is where we've actually started doing that and really focusing on the business. And then we converted to a company, like you said, Agra Limited, it is called. It's a public company with limited liability. That what took place in 2013. In terms of the business structure, not much has changed in the way that we conduct business. What has changed is now we do have shareholders and not members anymore. And now we can create shareholder wealth in terms of the growth in the shareholder price or the share price for the shareholder. And he gets a very good return on investment if there's a good growth in the share price. And we have declared dividends ever since 2015 as well, constantly. So that is one thing of giving money back to your client base, because most of our shareholders are also clients of Agra. Mm-hmm. And that makes it actually quite nice for a client to know that if he buys from us, they would actually get a return on that again, because they are shareholders.
And it's an interesting space to be in when your customers are your shareholders. It's a different dynamic.
Very, very interesting, because it's like they'd always come to you and say, hey, we pay your salary.
Exactly.
So it's actually quite nice, because you can't ask them for a raise because they wouldn't give it to you. But anyway, but that is interesting, dealing with your customer, but your customer is also your shareholder or your boss. And it's a very interesting dynamic. The nice part about that is you build very, very strong relationships with your customers. And that is actually the business model of Agra, is that we are a relationship kind of business, and we like to interact with our our business partners, which is our clients.
So just over 3,000 odd shareholders, but clearly a customer base that's far bigger than that. One of the things I've noticed in watching Agra and its communication strategies, it seems to be looking to increase market share and bring new customers into the stores and into the buying chain. Has that been part of the growth?
That has indeed been part of the growth. We would all know that in the past, agriculture was seen as something which is not glamorous. And we try to make agra more glamorous, but also agriculture more glamorous. Your farming community is aging, but it's very good for us to see younger entrants into the market. And that's very good. And we have to communicate to them as well. So that has been quite a big focus from our side also to be linked to the younger generation farmers. And that helps quite a lot, but not only on the farming side, but also your city dweller. We reach out to them. We have got different types of businesses with ours VetMed focusing on pet supplies, animal medicines and things like that. It's quite a specialized kind of business. We've got the Rosenthal company focusing on arms, ammunition and all of that. Very, very specialized, very stunning type of shop that you can go to. We've got Safari Den as well, which is outdoor camping, weapons, ammunition, all of that as well. So yes, it's quite a broad spectrum of products that we can offer to the public, and it's not only a farming business anymore. So we cater for a very, very broad spectrum of clients, and that actually makes it more complicated, but that is quite exciting as well.
So agriculture itself is, you're obviously heavily exposed to the agricultural industry, but that itself is an industry that's consistently evolving. We've seen over the last 25 years or so a big shift from family-owned, generational, sort of closed-loop type farming, and we see two big trends. We see a lot of institutional farming taking place, a lot of big balance sheet farming, and we also see the evolving importance of the informal sector. And how hard that is to get in front of, just because of, it's not disorganized, it's unorganized is perhaps the way to say it. So perhaps just are those trends evident in Namibia, and do we see different products or different thinking based on that?
Yeah, we do see that in Namibia. So you do have, like you call them, the balance sheet farmers. They're quite bigger farmers, and also family businesses where they really focus on the business. But you also have your, I would say, traditional commercial farmer, which is like a single person farming on his farm and doing quite a good job of that. But then we have a lot of new entrants from your previously disadvantaged farmers, and whether it's resettled farmers or whether it's farmers that actually bought a farm and now farming commercially in a commercial area. And what is very interesting about that is we've also got a division called Agra Provision, where we do capacity building and training and upskilling of people interested in agriculture. And we've got various different courses. We also have the Agricultural Academy, where you can study for a diploma in a different certain field. So that helps quite a lot in building the capacity in the country. And people in Namibia are hungry for that information. What we do find is your, I would say, traditional commercial farmers, they tend to rather say that we know it all, we've got the experience, but I think they don't realize how much more experience they can gain and how much more knowledge they can gain by exposing themselves to more recent and better information. Whereas your upcoming farmers, they know that they lack the information and the knowledge, and they are hungry for that. And that's quite a nice department of ours, that we actually build that capacity within the agricultural sector. And, yeah, we do see the results of that. And you can just look at that, especially in the stud market, with your buyers of stud bulls and rams and things like that. It's actually your upcoming farmers. And they are very particular on the quality that they buy, because they know that quality that will take you forward. So that helps.
Now, obviously, another big trend in agriculture worldwide is the advancement of technologies. Drone technology has changed many forms of farming, satellite communications, more access to the internet, more access to information, automated systems, RFID. That evolves rapidly. How does Agra stay in front of those technologies and understand what to bring into the country and whatnot?
That's a very interesting one, because Namibia lags behind when it comes to technology and the advancement in technology. So if you progress too fast, you may lose your customer. So you've got to adapt. So what we've done, that was something that we've planned for quite some time. But for instance, the whole digital auction platform, Agra is known for that. And we've brought it to Namibia and we've excelled in it. So, and it became like a normal feature with all our stud auctions currently. And that is something where we've actually outperformed our opposition by far, because they were far behind us in terms of that. In terms of drone technology and all of that, yes, a couple of farmers do make use of that, but that is not something that has taken Namibia by storm yet. So again, we will adapt as the times allow us to adapt, and it also depends on the market, because it doesn't help for you to lose your customer. You've got to be relevant and you've got to stay focused on what the needs are of your customer.
All right, if we were looking at results, it would be churlish to not mention where they come from. We have now emerged from a 7-year drought, last 2 years, fairly good rains. We had the impact of COVID. We now have the knock-on effects of supply chain shocks, fuel, energy shocks, and so forth and so forth. Yet you guys have produced some sterling results. Do you feel you've fully recovered from the various setbacks over the last 2 years?
I do think so, yes. The one thing that I have to make clear is the only way that you can stay abreast of things is when you're actually proactive. And when COVID hit the world, we realized that it would only be a matter of time and it will hit Namibia as well. So we were extremely proactive. And whenever anything happened in Namibia with the lockdowns and all of that, we had all our protocols in place already. And we actually offered our protocols to the ministries because they didn't have them in place. And these were adopted from the ones that we've developed. So COVID as such did not have such a big impact on Agra, because we were well prepared for it. And we also expanded on our delivery model that we have by telling the farmers, but you don't have to come to farm to town, we will deliver for you on farm. So we had that infrastructure in place already before COVID hit. And we are very fast to adapt to changes. And that is the nice thing about Agra. We are a national company. Rooted in Namibia, but yeah, Namibian owned. So we don't have boards and people that we have to report to abroad or in other countries. So we can take very quick decisions and we say, this is what the situation is and we can adapt to that. And yeah, I think that makes us quite flexible and adaptable, and that is what we've done. The one thing in terms of drought, that is something that will always be there in Namibia. That is, Namibia is a dry country. And we've also learned to adapt to that. So during droughts, you've got your high moving stock, like your feeds and leeks and things like that, that would move very fast. You've got to be competitive because everybody is very price sensitive then. And then you drop your margins because you've got to sell and you've got to take care of your customer as well. Whereas when it started raining again, then the demand for that slows down, and then you've got other focuses on other products, and we know that market and we know how to adapt to that. So I think that has helped us over the years to adapt quickly and to take advantage of the opportunities that it creates.
So just over 40 years trading in Namibia, by Namibia, for Namibians, but the future is always what's unknown. The past we can talk about forever because we know. What's next? What's still on the horizon? What sort of highlights are you looking forward to in the next year or two?
I think the most important part, and we talk about the 40 years, the one thing that we've got to acknowledge is that I would say the first 25 years, Agra has not really excelled in terms of financial performance at all. And it's only been since 24, 25 that Agra has really excelled in terms of performance. So we could only improve on our branch infrastructure since 2008 onwards. And that's a constant process of doing that. But expansion is extremely important. And the far northern regions still need a lot of Agra branches because we do have branches there, but definitely not enough. So we will expand into the far northern regions, definitely. We have a very strong fuel footprint, but we will further expand on that as well. And then in terms of brick and mortar, since 2014, we've on average spent roughly 47 million per annum in brick and mortar in our whole expansion and growth plan that we have. And that money all goes into investment into Namibia. So all the profits we make, we reinvest in Namibia because we believe in Namibia. It's a good economy. It's a good, stable country. And we love living here. So we will continue doing that. I think there will be a stronger focus also because we basically all the properties that we trade from are Agra-owned properties. And we can still expand on that, and we will also expand on property investment where we can have external tenants as well to grow our market on that side as well. So the legs that Agra basically stand on in terms of our operational business is retail, wholesale, your auction site, the provision, as I said, the capacity building and training side, and then our property business. So that is the business model that we work from.
Business is never done. The never. Results are posted, and immediately the next day you have to pitch up back to work and go and beat them next year.
Absolutely, and their bar just gets raised every time that you perform. So and that is, you can never outperform yourself, and that is where we have this slogan of where we would like to achieve excellence, because excellence, I think, can never be achieved. And that is our drive, is to go for something which is not really achievable, but that you always want to achieve.
Arnold Klein, thank you for joining us on the Business Report. Congratulations on a great set of results.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure from my side as well.
That's Arnold Klein, the Chief Executive Officer of Agra Limited, speaking about results released recently. And high acclaim at the AGM for a wonderful set of results, as well deserved. That's it for this evening's lead story, and the lead story brought to you, as always, by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, let us help you secure your financial well-being now and in the future.
The Business Report. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Novo 103.5.